The pleasure of speaking at one of the weddings yesterday. There is, I've been told, a Facebook photograph of me wearing a Manchester United shirt. My PR agent has told me to neither confirm nor deny such photographs. As I was putting it on to illustrate a point, it was one of those moments where I had not clearly thought it that well through. As I was putting it on, I just saw people getting their phones out, and I'm like, oh no, what have I done? Is what it is. We're going to have a chance this morning to hear from the Bible, hear from what I believe, hear from God. This is an exciting passage, and when I was told last week that it's an opportunity to share vision for the site, I was like, flip, I know instantly what I want to speak from. It's a word that came to us as a site. Someone read a Bible passage probably about a year ago, similar sort of time ago, and it came again in our January times of prayer and fasting, and it's just a really obvious passage for us to look at this morning, something I really feel that God has got for us this morning, but also for a Hove. I love Hove. I've lived as formerly part of Hove for about 4 years now, and just grown in love and desire to see Hove transform. So I believe that there's things for us. I believe it's God talking, and it's good just to be obedient if it's in our own personal lives or, you know, in leadership decisions, just to be obedient to what God has for us. I've asked Rosie just to come and read the passage. It's from in a book of the Bible called Isaiah, and she's going to read verses 1-4.
Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labour, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood.
I'm just going to pray. God, I pray you'd help us this morning as we look at this. I pray that you'd speak to us. I pray you'd do work. I pray you'd transform lives and that you'd help each of us as we're sat here. Amen. There are four commands in this passage that this passage just speaks in booming voices out to the audience who are listening, and I just want to look at those four things. I do then want to follow at the end of this session up with another point that's looking at a different part of the Bible. We'll get there in a moment. The most obvious thing I want to start with is, this is Isaiah 54. Now, I'm going to ask one of those questions that when I ask it in my classroom at school, I'm a school teacher, that you kind of hold your breath. And there's always, you know, one kid who sort of says, you know, what country do we live in? And they're like, Africa. And, you know, you have to, as a teacher, find the patience to sort of, yes, well, no. What's the number before 54? Dan, what's the number that comes? 53, well done. You get a house point, Dan, and a little sticker. Well done. But this is important, because Isaiah 53 is followed by Isaiah 54, that's followed by Isaiah 55. And the first thing just to draw, you know, out of that is that Isaiah 53 is a passage well-renowned for talking about Jesus, talking about looking forward to when Jesus died on the cross. It makes some very obvious statements. It says of Jesus, it says, surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, that he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So this is depicting the death of Jesus. It was 740 years before, sort of historically. And so the first point I want to make about Isaiah 55 is that there is no singing, there's no joy, and there's no celebration without someone suffering, without Jesus' suffering. And we read Isaiah 54 in the light of the cross, and that we read Isaiah 54 in the light of Jesus' suffering, in the light of his death, in the light of his resurrection. And so it says, sing, O barren woman, burst into song, shout for joy. Now, it's an interesting statement, barren woman, that it's describing someone who's not born children. Now, that's, you know, even we can connect, that's a very upsetting position to be in. But back in the days, you know, 750 years BC, that is a shameful position to be. That if you were seen to not be able to have children, It was not only very sad and distressing like it is today, but you were actually excluded from society, that you were put on the outskirts of the city in a similar category to people who had leprosy, that you were just like, you know, there is something massively wrong with you. And it was a very shameful position to be in, that people were overwhelmed with shame and with sorrow and with sadness and with suffering. And so the fact that the other side of the cross, even the barren woman can sing, is a massive deal. And how does that connect with us? That in our society, that people carry around that same shame in their own lives through experiences that they've had. That in their own lives that they are dealing with anxieties and fears and worries. And they're completely stained with just the pressures of life. I decided to, just this morning, write on a t-shirt just some of the things that people even in Hove are carrying around. It's one of my best t-shirts that I've just ruined. Maybe I should keep the Man United shirt, not. And so people are carrying these things around. It might be more effective if I wear it, because I can't really hold it. Or hold on to it. There we are. And so people are walking around feeling this, and you may know people like this. It may be you yourself, that you're carrying hurt deep in your heart, that you're carrying unforgiveness, that you are carrying around a sense of unworth. But the joy of Isaiah 54 is that even the barren woman can sing for joy for what God has done. And I just hold that out as a first point this morning, that even in your own lives and situations, that there is freedom for you this morning because of Isaiah 53, because of the cross, because of what Jesus' work has done. Because it says in Colossians that through Christ's physical body, that he joined us, he restored us back together to present us holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. And so the first personal application for seeing O barren woman is that we can know forgiveness, that you can know freedom. That even if we go back and read those words from Isaiah 53 about, you know, by his wounds we are healed, that he takes our shame. That didn't rip so well. I'm going to get myself a new job. Is that he takes this and he deals with it on the cross and presents you holy in his sight. And so my first point from this passage personally is sing. It's sing. My heart is alive with worship. And the reason that we can sing that song is by his wounds that we can have healing and we can know freedom. And so personally, I'd encourage you this morning to reflect on the cross of Jesus Christ, to know the forgiveness and the freedom that he brings. As a sight, we're talking again about vision and what is it that I want us to do. Actually, my first point is that I want the areas and the surrounding streets of Brighton and Hove to get the rags and the pain and the hurt that they are carrying around. And I'm keen that people know freedom, because there is an answer. You know, in society, we turn to all sorts of things, you know, substance abuse, we turn to self-harming, we turn to all avenues. You know, we've got people even on our road who are, you know, drug rehabilitation and are trying, you know, getting freedom from that. We don't have to carry around these rags in our heart that we can know freedom. And so personally, I'd set that forth. Secondly, as a site, I would say it's our job as a response to sing in revelation to what we found out. That's a natural response. If someone said to you, or if mentally you can process that, if all of the shame and guilt that you were feeling, that someone could just lift that off you, how would you feel? I would imagine really happy and really pleased and really grateful. I'd imagine that. And so therefore, our response is to sing. Why do we have a band and some music? It's not, again, we're not wasting time. It's a nice cultural thing to do. But we are celebrating the magnificent thing that Jesus has done. And as a site, you know, I don't want to just say, come on, let's sing a bit better and let's sing with a bit more energy. I want to present to you a magnificent Jesus that is worthy of our adoration. Point two, enlarge the place of your tent and stretch your curtains wide. On my notes, I just wrote, I hate camping. I really hate camping. I hate tents. I don't enjoy it very much. My ideal holiday is a villa. I can be comfortable and relax. You know, there's a swimming pool and there's a fridge. You don't have to go in. It's that 2 a.m. when you need the loo and it's freezing cold and there's dew. Yeah. Anyway, I was mulling that round and I just felt God say, actually, comfort's fine for holiday. The comfort's fine for holiday. But the idea that we're stretching out, that's in active anticipation of growth. It's been mentioned that there are, you know, I looked on the census data, about 54,000 people within 2 mile radius. 54,000 people. We need to grow because we need to take this good news of Jesus out and to share that with people and see people's lives transformed. And so that's a practical element. It says, you know, curtains and stretching your cords and tent. And so we've changed things around. We've created for ourselves 2 morning services rather than 11 and an afternoon. The rationale for that was just that we felt that we could serve our community better by doing that. Now, I admit, the morning after 2 weddings at 9 a.m., it doesn't necessarily appear like that. But actually, you know, if you look around, even out the window, I can see people walking on the street, you know, young families walking by right now out of our building. There are young people, sort of young sort of professionals. And so the idea that we are changing things around that we are doing to accommodate that is sensible. And, you know, we're saying we need to grow. We don't want to be comfortable. I'm not on holiday. We've got a business. We've got a job. We've got a purpose. We've got a mission. And so when we're on mission, you know, when we do go camping, we're often on a journey to somewhere else. Like we're driving to the south of France. We need somewhere to stay for the night. Great. A tent's are quick. We can put it up. We can change it. And so it's flexible. And so we're being flexible with how we change our services and we're trialing different things. And just say, this is exciting that we're on a journey. This isn't our holiday. This is us working towards what we feel God calling us to do. The purpose of meeting as a congregation that God outlined in the Bible was his strategy to reach a dark world was to pour his light and his life into his people, and that it would almost become like a beacon or a candle. And the annoying thing, oddly, I'm using camping illustrations all of a sudden, when you have your light on, all the flies come flying towards you. The candle, the lantern. That's the point of the church, of a congregation, is that he pours his light into us that others may see us and others may be attracted to us. Now, we've in this room, looking around, we've got a way to go to reach the 54,000. But, you know, people say we, on average, have about 180 people who gather across our 2 services. You know, I'd say that's brilliant, and we rejoice in that. And we try and set targets about how many we want to reach. I guess the realistic target is 54,000. And I guess I've got to then ask myself the question, if it isn't 54,000, why on earth would it not be? And it's exciting. There will be change. Tent will fall down occasionally and we'll need to prop it up a little bit, but we're not on holiday, we're on mission, we're out working what God has called us to do. It's good. 3rd command from the Isaiah passage, and this is the one that really God is almost like a hammer blow that came again and again, was do not hold back. Do not hold back. This is God giving us impetus. This is God asking us to be tenacious. All strong buzzwords, they're great in an interview, those words. Yes, I'm tenacious. What it means is just strong and resolute and, you know, determined to make things work. It's about Sundays, about not holding back on Sundays, that we, you know, often it's viewed as a day of rest Sunday. I'm just going to have a day of rest. Actually, looking at the days of the week, Sunday's the first day of the week. That even in a calendar, I know we go to work on Mondays, but historically, Sunday's the first day of the week, that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I have a rest on Saturday. I make sure I turn my phone off, I make sure that I organise my life so that Saturdays are a restful day. Sundays is my best day. I'm here, I'm alive. I'm alive with worship, I'm alive to serve. Do not hold back with our Sundays. Trying to organise the way that we serve our communities on the Sundays is hard work and very exhausting. If you ask the guys who are here at 7:30 this morning, how you feeling? Some of them were ushers at the wedding yesterday. How you feeling? You know, it's hard. I want to look them in the eyes and just say, well done. Thank you for being here. But I don't need to do that because they're keen to give their worship to Jesus, that they are here this morning not to serve coffee or to set up a microphone, but they're here, we're serving our community. And so let's not hold back with our serving. Do not hold back with our children's work. Realistically, in South Hove, demographically speaking, the young families with small primary-age children, there are hundreds, probably thousands of them. And so our children's work needs to be exceptional. I felt God say, do not hold back with your children's work. It's probably the most hardest area of service. I know that's a dangerous thing to say, but kids are exhausting. I work with kids full-time. It's a full-time job. It is exhausting. And then, you know, to try and put on a provision for children, on a Sunday morning, it is exhausting. I felt God say, don't hold back with our children's program. And I just think it would be brilliant if we could make it the best provision for children in Hove on a Sunday morning. I think that's a very realistic aim and a real realistic drive, thinking about the sort of what's on offer in this area on a Sunday morning. I think we could aim and drive and make this the very best provision on a Sunday morning. Do not hold back with our young people. That we, I work in schools, I see the battle for young people on a daily basis, fighting for their identity, fighting for what they believe, their sexuality, their morality, their individuality. That we're not to hold back that. We shouldn't be casual about how we help and serve our young people. You know, I'd rather them understand that Jesus bore their wounds on his arms rather than having to deal with young people who feel it's their responsibility to cut their arms and to, you know, inflict pain on themselves. That Jesus has paid that. We're living in the fruit of the cross, that Jesus has already died, so they don't need to bear their own suffering. And so actually there's a call to serve them. Do not hold back with our giving. You know, our church is so astonishingly good at financially giving, with their time, with their money, with their effort, with their energy, but we're not to hold back. The lessons I've learned in giving this year, I'm just being honest, is actually not to do with, you know, often we think, right, I'm going to give to God and I'm sure he'll bless me back, and, you know, I'm looking and I'm waiting for a check to come through the post or to be let off a car bill. Actually, what God's been teaching us about giving is just being generous, is about breaking pride, breaking dependence. I like to think, you know, how am I going to afford that? And how are we going to pay for that? And next year we want to go on holiday, and I'm great, you know, at thinking like that, but actually, this is his anyway. And so I want it to be available just to see people come to know him. I'd rather give it to buy some coffee, that someone off the street can come in and see the goodness of Jesus. And so we're not to hold back on that as well. It says, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. That's another key thing, strengthen your stakes. And so we're investors in people, that we want to train people, we want to give people profile. That isn't God saying he's going to do it, that's saying it to us. Saying it to, you know, and I take that really seriously. I want people to feel like that they can grow in responsibility, that they can grow in leadership, that they can grow in areas and govern our road and take responsibility for the surrounding areas. It says, you're spread out to the right. I'll put in brackets on my notes. That means 9:15. We'll spread out to the left, 11:15. And your descendants will dispossess the nations and settle in their desolate cities. I put in brackets Ottawa for that one, because we are spreading out, and our descendants, I know this sounds cheesy, I don't mean it to be even disrespectful, actually I think what I'm about to say is really honouring. As I was cycling back along Hove Seafront the other day, I felt God just talk to me about Richard and Natalia, and I just felt him say that the son of Hove will be going to dispossess the nation of Canada and father a nation. And I think that was just an astonishing sort of thing, that Richard and Natalia, as they go from us, they are Hove, they are our descendants, they are our, you know, they are going to dispossess a nation. And I know, you know, there's a sort of strength in sonship, that I'm looking at him right now, that God has called you and you're a son of Hove. I did say to God, look, he's Canadian, surely he's adopted son of Hove, because he's not, you know, he wasn't born in this country. But he didn't, you know, he didn't respond to that. But, you know, the son of Hove is going to dispossess the nations and father a nation. So that's for you guys. I believe that for you guys. And that's for us as a site as well, that part of what we're going to do is we're going to send them and we're going to bless them and we're going to see a nation of Canada changed for the gospel. The final command in this passage is, do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. This is not a promise that nothing bad is going to happen in your life. That would be quite nice. I'd like one of those cards that promised me that because I'm a Christian, nothing's going to go wrong. It said that we'll not be put to shame. That nothing, that no evil force, no badge of condemnation or guilt or fear or guilt can touch you. That's ripped. That's been dealt with. He says that through Jesus, he presents you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Amazing truths. And so we can come with confidence this year. We can come with expectation. We can come with energy this year. Unsurprisingly, to follow my childish game, Isaiah 53 comes Isaiah 54. Andy, what comes after? Oh, yes, you at the front, young man. 55, yes, right answer. Good. And in Isaiah 55, the theme of this, we have the cross, we have the fruit that we can know because of the cross. And in Isaiah 55, there's it speaks out, come, anyone who is thirsty. That we don't have to go on our own strengths for this, that we can try and work up some sort of energy and strength and we're going to change the world. But God, through the Holy Spirit, energizes us. And actually now there's a universal invitation to anyone that, no, we don't have outsiders. We don't have people who can't walk through the doors. We don't have people who, you know, well, actually, you don't dress or you've got a tattoo. You can't come into a church. Welcome and universal is the invitation to anyone who believes and puts their trust in Jesus. And his Holy Spirit energizes us and gives us strength. Amazing. Just want to have a quick gear change. Because I want to look, we're looking at 750 BC. We then had Jesus 700 years come, live his life, die on a cross at age 30. And then the next passage I'm going to just briefly read is 40 years after that. And it talks about, well, what did the first church community look like? Because actually I think that there's a few bits and pieces that we can learn from them. So I'm going to read from Acts 2. Says, this is after Jesus had died. Oh, I don't need to read that. God made this. So reading from Acts 2, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. So first line, there we go. The cross is done. He's, you know, evidence of that. So this is fruit. When the people heard this, that they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brother, what should we do? Peter replied, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here this morning and this is the first time you've ever heard the message of Jesus, there's a very simple response, which is just literally, wow, Jesus, you've paid and taken my shame and taken my guilt. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number daily. Just notice the pattern again. We've got the cross, we've got Jesus crucified, we've got people cut to the heart and we've got people singing again. They're rejoicing in what God has done. Those that are far off were brought in. And we've got this section that's sort of titled The Fellowship of Believers. It says that the people responded, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to those breaking bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who needed. So they weren't holding back either, that they gave themselves. There's no holding back. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Now, wouldn't that be ideal to see in Hove? I think so. I think that would be astonishing to see in this area. To help flesh this little bit out, I thought it would be nice to hear from some other people, and I've invited a number of people. Hopefully, they got my email. So, Andy, you're first. No, I'm joking. I've invited a couple of people just to come up. So, could I invite Jonathan? Do you want to come up? Can we have... Who else is it? All of the guys who I've spoken to, do you want to come up and introduce yourselves and come say hello? We've got the handheld mic. So, we have Jonathan, Hannah and Helen. Do you want to go second? You're up. Abby, who's got the mic? So what I've asked these guys to do is, I've just said that this is the passage. What do you feel God saying to you? This is Jonathan, one of our young people. He's written some things down, and then it'd be nice just to pray. Go for it.
Hello. In this Bible passage, they serve each other and they help needy people. I think we should all serve and help each other in this site. I serve on the production team, which makes all the visuals happen up there, over there. And it can be hard sometimes serving because things don't work. But there are people who have lots of knowledge to help, and we have backups plans when things don't go right. I enjoy serving in the Hove site, and it's fun. I like doing what I do. Other people who serve are helpful, and we help one another.
Hold on. Just before we pass on, just pass it back down a sec. Jonathan, how old are you?
12.
And what school do you go to?
King's School in Portslade.
So in our site, we've got young people, secondary school age. I'm just going to pray for Jonathan and for young people in Hove. Lord, I thank you for Jonathan, but I thank you for young people. I thank you, you said to the young children, bring them to me. And I pray that around this city, that many young people would come to know you. I pray, I mean this sincerely, Jesus, that rather than sort of turn inwardly on themselves, that they would look to you as their saviour and know freedom from a young age. We pray for young people in Hove. Amen.
Morning. I'm Helen, and this is Hannah, and we lead Mum's Prayer at the Villas, which meets every... Thank you very much. We meet every Wednesday during term time in the Connaught Room at 9:30. David asked us about which verse stood out for us, and one of them was the bit where it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and praying. Basically, that's what we do each week. We meet, we do Bible study, we share our lives, build community. Before we started leading it, we prayed about what our group should be like, and there's some things God laid on our heart. Two of them are that we wanted to build relationship by doing life together in a kind of real, open and honest way, and to see Mum standing strong in God throughout life's trials. The other bit that stood out for us was for the promises for you and for your children. And a main part of our vision is to encourage Mum in their parenting and marriages. Oh, I've just lost my notes. That's good. help. So our main point on a Wednesday morning is to give time to lift our eyes to God, to just get built up and to be able to raise our kids in a relationship with God, because that's our kids are our primary mission field as mums.
Brilliant. So these guys have both got large families. We've got a growing family ourselves. It's very hard work, and it might be that you're a mum just looking for some support and some help and some guidance and someone to cry with or play with or have some help. Come along to Mum's Prayer. It might be that you actually got, you're a grandma, or you haven't got children, but you want to get in help in serving and blessing and helping mums. This is such a great opportunity for you to mother some mothers and to help generations. And I just want to pray for mums and for children in Hove and this area. Lord, I pray for mums and for families in Hove. I pray that you would really bring your power and your light into their lives. I pray that you would, the mums that gather on Thursdays, but also for the widening, growing number of mums in Hove. I pray for families. I pray that you'd help us see fruit from the families' lives. I pray that we'd see whole families come to know you, Jesus. Amen. This is Abby.
Hi, I'm Abby. I'm 19 and a Hove Impactor this year. So from this verse, I felt like it really It sets like a standard for how church should be done, like as a family, people sharing their lives and living in community together. And it really stood out to me the fact that there was no need amongst them, because they were living in unity. But I do find it challenging, as it means being completely countercultural in like letting go of all your earthly securities and just being fully dependent on God for all of that. But it's also really exciting, as when they were together praising God, he added to their number daily people being saved. So it gives me a lot of excitement, definitely. And serving-wise, it helps me serve, I guess, as an impactor, giving this year to God and on the cafe and COGS and all of that, because it kind of gives you that sense of mission and joy, and actually we're doing this to build God's kingdom and that what the church is supposed to be. And just gives you expectation that the Holy Spirit will break out and transform people's lives. Yeah.
It's great. It's been an impact. It means that Abby's voluntarily given a year to serve us, to serve you, to serve our community. We're opening the cafe to the street, to the public on Thursdays, Fridays, and once a month on Saturday mornings, just with the intention of being a blessing to our community. And I'm just going to pray for Abby. I'm going to pray for and the cafe as well. Lord, I thank you for Abby. I pray you'd bless her this year. I pray you'd provide for her financially as well. But I pray that she would be a blessing to our community. I pray that as we open the cafe, just for your blessing to reach mums that don't know you to connect to us. But I pray it just be a really joyful atmosphere in here. I'm sure it'd be chaotic, full of children and fun and life. But I pray that we would see lots of fruit and blessing from that. Amen. Graham.
Hi, I'm Graham. Everyone else has given their age, so I'll do the same. I'm 27. I work as a civil engineer in the centre of Brighton on Trafalgar Street. As I read the account of what happened in Jerusalem, which is what in Acts, after Jesus rose from the dead, I'm really blown away by the transformation that happens in people's lives. Only a few days after the group had murdered Jesus. And as we've heard, it's this idea that they were cut to the heart when they heard the gospel, they heard the good news, and they turned away from the life and that they lived, and they chose instead to follow Jesus. And then as they sit under the, as we've been hearing already, they sit under the teaching of the apostles, and they learn more about who God is and what God has done. They live this wonderfully generous and inclusive community life. And for me, that was just really, really powerful. And I found this, like, the power of truth, the power of the Bible, to transform people's lives and make a real impact in people's lives and turn people's lives right the way around and turn them into generous people. It's been so, so amazing. And so for me, practically, that's how I want to sit under the teaching of the elders and other people at this church, and also learn the Bible and be changed myself. And also, I want to be like Peter in this example and teach other people the Bible, teach other people the truth of who God is and what that means for them. Practically, my wife and I, Grace, lead a small group, so we meet once a week on a Wednesday, similar to Mum's Prayer. And we want God to build a massive community that reflects what's in Acts, that we open the Bible together and we look and ask God to transform us, and point out where we've rebelled against God and ask God to change us and make us more like him. And it really excites me. It just excites me so much when people hear the gospel and hear the truth and their lives are changed and we see people freed from all the stuff that David was talking about. And so for me, that's what really stands out for me in Acts.
Graham works in the city. He's a professional. So I'm going to pray for the young professionals in Brighton and Hove. Lord, I pray that we would see the young professionals of Hove impacted with the power of this gospel. I pray for those who work hard in offices and in buildings and for the council and all other jobs in our city. I pray for your blessing on them. I pray that we would see more people come to know you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. You want to give them a round of applause? That's brave. I don't want this to sound flippant, but I'll say it carefully. I asked a number of people who are older than 27, shall I say, to stand, because this isn't a young person's trendy church. The family of God is a family of God. That it doesn't matter if, I think Barnabas, my son, is probably the youngest member of the site at 6 weeks old, and we've got a number pushing into their 80s, that we want to celebrate as a site the family of God, that there is no one excluded. That would be the complete opposite to what I've told you the good news of Jesus is, that everyone is welcome, everyone has a place, everyone has a destiny. And it may be that, you know, you're just willing to get involved, that you've got time, that you've got energy, that you've got effort, that there are plenty of areas that need service. I don't want to keep labouring that point, but actually it's a response to our love for Jesus, that we don't carry the rags of these around. That isn't our job, that isn't our purpose. So that's my primary message this morning, is that for Hove, is that they know this, that people understand this, that people hear that for the very first time. The second application is, yes, we get busy, that we work and work hard for the kingdom of God. And thirdly, that we all have a place, no matter of age or gender, that there is a family of God together. I'm going to finish by doing one of the things it says in the passage, which is, they call it breaking bread. That symbolizes and represents Jesus' body that was broken. I'm going to, in a minute, hopefully someone can pass me a loaf of bread. Thank you, sir. That we do this in remembrance of Jesus. You know, I like actually ripping it, because in my mind it reminds me physically of what happened as Jesus was nailed to a cross, that his body was beaten, was ripped apart, I'm sure, as they stuck a spear in his side. But actually, we do it joyfully, that we sing about the blood of Jesus. We celebrate the blood. That sounds very gruesome. That sounds like, that's a bit odd to enjoy blood. But it actually is a good thing, because it reminds us that Jesus died, that his blood left his body. Actually, that gives life to us. And so we're going to celebrate that together. I've asked just some of the guys who are on the leadership team, I'm going to read their names out, because it isn't about me. I might be the person who leads the team, the site leader. Actually, the answer of who leads the Hove site is an interesting question and can be answered in many ways. Jesus leads the Hove site, that he's in charge, that he's the great high priest, that Joel Virgo, who often preaches and we see on this screen, leads CCK, leads the site. We have a team of elders who lead the site, that we have a team of people even in this room who lead the site. And yes, I take responsibility, and my job is to care and to love and serve, but the point that I'm making is that we're one family, that we're serving together, and I want to do that this morning. So I've asked just a couple of guys to come and serve. Max, if you could come. Steve and Rosie, and Paul and Maggie are not here, but Andrew Knight, Graham, Peter and Katie, these are all guys who are a part of the leadership team of this site, that carry tremendous amounts of responsibility and care for people in this site. And I've just asked them if, just by an act of response, that they could serve us this morning by handing round the bread and the wine. I'm just going to have it on a plate. If you're a Christian, just invite you just to come and take a piece of bread, dip it into the wine. If we go for this side, I've only got one plate. That wasn't so thought through. But come and enjoy that. It might be that you want to know freedom from some of the things that I've written on that T-shirt. We're going to have an opportunity later on in the meeting where we're just going to pray for people. And it might be that you feel like you're still struggling with some of these words, shame and guilt and fear and anxiety, that yes, I am a Christian, but I'm still bogged down. It'd be really great just to pray for you and to ask that the power of Jesus will bring freedom to your life. So if I could ask you to stand, I'm going to invite the band to come and sing a song of worship and response to Jesus. I'm going to invite the guys that are on the leadership team to come and share the bread and to serve us. Jesus, I thank you for your body that was broken for us. I thank you for Isaiah 53. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. I thank you, Jesus, that is true. I thank you that we can sing. I thank you that we can celebrate. I thank you we can enjoy. I thank you we can put all these things that trip us up to one side. Please come as you're ready.